Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Monkey Tail podcast. I am your host, Bruno Pinto, and with me as ever, I have my friend slash co-host slash Sifu, Mr. Marius Dunkley. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good, thank you. Good.
Yeah, I like your Star Wars top there. Yeah, you always come with the...
Yeah, this is one of my favorite t-shirts, actually. I think it's good. I like it.
So you got Anakin Skywalker there on the bottom. Yeah, looks quite... Is that a spoiler? Oh. When you see Darth Vader, you call it Anakin Skywalker?
I think we have to be beyond the point of spoiling that particular thing now, don't we?
I think so. But, it is.
Unless you're talking to children.
Yeah, I thought you're talking to children. Like, maybe Anakin Skywalker should be, you should apply the same rules you apply to Santa when you're talking to a child then, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. We also have with us Mr. Immortal Donut. How are you doing, sir?
Doing good. You know, I fixed the clock issue from a couple weeks ago, and,
He had a grievance with me, because he was like, I can tell the time, asshole, I fell asleep.
there is going to be something coming up later about that.
I see.
I don't want to spoil anything.
I see. Okay, fair enough.
An anonymous viewer has a complaint.
Oh, an anonymous viewer.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. I look forward to let me just check my complaint department is working yet. My bin is still there. Sounds good. Yeah. Cool. Now, yeah, I look forward to hearing the complaint. But now that we're all here, we should start as always with a question. And chief question giver, Mr. Martin, aka the Unflushable, has gave us another one, another Reddit one. He likes Reddit. And this one is just nice and easy, this one. What's the oldest physical game that you still have since you got it? What is the oldest physical game that you have since you got it? That's the question. I can start. I think for me, the problem is, and I'll go back to this now, which is I keep hold of stuff now more. Like, for instance, my Nintendo Switch, I think I'm not gonna get rid of it. I still have every single Switch game that I bought since it came out. All of them are there. Certainly the ones I bought physically. Even though I buy games digitally more often, certainly on PCs, obviously all digital. But the answer is very simple, and is let me take you back to the year 2001, and I went to game with my money that I had that I could buy just about the game. I think I might have traded in some games. And I said, look. And I bought ICO, the special edition, because I think it was when it first came out. So sorry, Echo is trying to talk when I said ICO. My smart speaker wants to take part. So ICO is the one. So that's what? That's my quick calculations. That's 23 years. Give or take 22, 23 years. That's my answer. What can anyone beat that? I'm sure you guys can, being both older than me.
Yeah, I mean, as a general rule, I don't keep hold of physical stuff. I tend to have sold all of my old consoles and things like that. But the one remaining relic that I do have is my Dreamcast, although that might not be around for very long. So there's actually, I mean, without me going in the loft and confirming, I don't know exactly how many there are, but there could be three separate, because they're launch titles.
Yeah.
So they were all purchased on the same day. I'm pretty sure I've still got Power Stone, Ready to Rumble Boxing. Power Stone's great. It's like a... Yes. Four-player simultaneous beat-em-up, like an isometric 3D beat-em-up. You could use the environment as weapons and stuff. It was really cool. And Sonic Adventure, I think it's
what
three
games? Okay, can you give me the release date of the Dreamcast, please?
October the 14th, 1999.
Okay, so you're beating me by a couple of years. And before we continue to you, Donut, can everyone just now, everyone listen to podcast, let's just take... Just 5 seconds here, and just think how good the Dreamcast was. Let's pay some respects. How good was that? Look at those launch titles. I mean, I've never heard of Power Stone, but it sounds like it's good. But look at the other two. Look at the other two.
Power Stone's better than the other two.
Power Stone?
No, I didn't. But the other two are great.
Than the other two.
Is it better than the other two? Because Sonic Adventure was quite good, wasn't it, as well?
Sonic Adventure was probably the only passable 3D Sonic.
Ready to Rumble was good as well. That was good.
Ready to Rumble was fun.
It was goofy.
It was all right. Yeah.
For me,
yeah,
Dreamcast, like, it's all about them. Shenmue, man. For me, though.
Yeah, Shenmue. House of the Dead. That was probably I think that was released like a week or two later or something like that. So that would be up there as well.
Fucking awesome. Right, are you going to beat this? You are. Looking at all the games you have behind you and stuff like that.
Well, sadly, to qualify for this, I did sell some of my Super Nintendo games and then repurchase them later. So I will have to disqualify those.
Mm-hmm.
So the oldest ones that I can think of are Dreamcast launch titles as well. Power Stone, Sonic Adventure. Was Soul Calibur a launch title? I feel
It was right after. No. Yeah. That happened quite a lot. I think they like some real big hitters that hit like just.
I mean, Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, like. All those, like, I mean, I love the Dreamcast. It was one of my favorite consoles ever.
I think ahead of its time. Ahead of its time. That's all.
Way ahead of its time.
That's the problem. It's just the console that took its reins from it was the Xbox. Then the Xbox was basically what the Dreamcast did, but like a few years later.
It was ahead of its time. Entirely ahead of its time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jet Set Radio as well. I'm just having a quick look here. Crazy Taxi. You know,
That's another one I have. Yep.
He's to have that one as well. I can see the Power Stone here. Yep. I need to have a look at that later. Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver. On it as well.
Yeah, I forgot that was there too.
I've recently bought
Power Stone. Power Stone is definitely one of the most underrated games. Mm-hmm. It was a phenomenal 4-player. Beat 'em up, like fighting game, sort of like Super Smash Brothers, only in a 3D arena. You could grab different things in the arena to use.
Characters were really interesting as well. There was some really weird. I seem to think there was some sort of transformation, wasn't there, of them? Did they do?
If you got the Power Stones, then you would power up and transform and do massive damage.
I wish
they would remake these or re-release them. Something, you know, bring them to the Switch. Hell, like. I mean, these are titles that deserve to be loved.
I might seek it out as a ROM, because I don't have a Dreamcast, but and see if I can play it on the Steam Deck or something. But it looks really good. Talking about Legacy of Kain, though, I've recently. And I hardly ever do this because I subscribe to the GOG, newsletter, they send me an email. They always send me like, here's fucking 90% off, you know, like discount code on this game. And I'm like, and then they like send me one, which is like literally like 90% off or whatever it was, all the Soul Reaver games, you know, but like working. And I'm like, I was like, bye. I was like, I'll buy that. I'm not gonna play them now, but I've never finished the first one, the first Soul Reaver, and the reason for that is not because I didn't have time or because I didn't like it. I physically couldn't do it. It was too hard for me.
It was tricky. I love that game, but like I never got too far in it, I don't think, because I had a dodgy beta copy. So there was loads of bugs in it and stuff, and it kept dying on me a lot when I played it originally. And then I played it on the Vita.
Okay.
Sometime later, and that game is difficult to play today.
Is it?
You can't look up.
Okay.
like the camera doesn't look up.
Doesn't go for it.
that was a miscue.
Things like that. It was one of those that was of its time, and there were many things that hadn't been worked out in terms of navigating 3D space and stuff like that. So I found it really, really hard to go back to. I love the setting and the story and the characterization.
And the swapping between the worlds.
I love all of that. That should be on the... I'm sure we've done this... We have definitely remake. Done this question at least five times. But yeah, that could do from a ground-up remake of Soul Reaver would be fucking...
I want to say Amy Henning's first game, or first game as a director.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, her first, like...
I don't know about director. She wrote the story for it.
She's classed as a director on Wikipedia. I could be wrong. My mind palace of knowledge. I always had that as our first game. She directed. I know she did Uncharted 2, right? That's the one that she's most famous for, right? Probably her best game, to be fair. But let's give some love to Legacy of Kane. She's coming up with a new game soon as well. That looks fucking awesome. So we'll Star Wars game, right? So that could be good.
Hasn't that been canned?
No, there's a new one.
She's on the Marvel game now, isn't she?
It's a Marvel game, so that's what she's on. Sorry, you're right. Marvel game. So it is Marvel game. Have you seen the trailer for it, by the way?
Yeah.
Looks good, doesn't it? Unreal Engine 5. It looks good.
Oh, yeah. It does.
Pretty good. Crystal Dynamics, again, by the way, guys, while you're doing your pay your respects for the Dreamcast, can we pay our respects for Crystal Dynamics as well? How good they used to be?
they were good, man.
They were very good. Tomb Raider, they did Tomb Raider, didn't they, as well? Crystal Dynamics? Yeah. I mean, when you have Tomb Raider and Legacy of Kain as two of your games, you know you're doing well, right? By the way...
Don't forget Jax either, or Gex, rather.
Yeah, yeah. Because... But anyway, I bought I think it was three games on GOG, and I reckon I paid like a couple quid for the three games. So I was like, yeah, I'll get them because I'll try and find some time to. And it might be one of those I play for an hour and go like, this is not playable, but I'll have some nostalgia anyway still. So it's worth the £2, you know, for that alone. So
While I think about it, because if I don't say it while I think about it, I will forget. That is a good question for another time. Developers that are no longer with us, like best game studios that have.
That's a great question. Let's do that. Crystal Dynamics, didn't Crystal Dynamics become something else though? I'm sure they became something.
Crystal Dynamics
is still going.
They're still going.
Yeah,
did the Tomb Raider remake.
Mm.
Yeah, that was the last thing they did, wasn't it? Yeah. But yes, absolutely. That's a good question. Yeah, we'll write it down. And
when you say we'll write it down, you mean you will write it down.
Yeah. Yes.
Just to be clear.
And then he'll remind us five seconds before.
Can we get Joe back to do the admin? Why am I doing the admin? Jesus Christ. And by the way, before you send fucking sexist letters, I'm not saying that because she was a woman, but mainly because she liked taking notes. Okay, before you start sending your hate mail, that was not a sexist comment. It was a comment on Joe liking to take notes. Okay, before we go there, don't go there. Okay, right. Sorry, I have to be defensive because every time I mention Joe, I get email letters saying I'm being sexy somehow. So I thought I'll get ahead of the game on that.
Yeah, this is fair. We're already close to having to expand the complaints team.
Exactly. Yeah, we get more complaint letters.
I'm looking for people to hire already.
Right. Okay. So that was that looks interesting, and.
No, that was the opening question.
That was the opening question. You're right. That was the opening question. And I don't think we have anything that looks interesting. Certainly there's nothing written down there.
I haven't got anything.
No. Okay.
Well, I don't pay much attention anymore.
More game studios going...
Yeah, that's it. That's basically...
Yeah, that's just standard, isn't it?
That's basically that. That's just...
sad, but standard.
And, okay, I'll tell you what. That's one quick one, which is pertinent to... to the playlist. So I'll quickly. Okay, so we'll go into the that looks interesting part of the show, which is the part of the show where we talk about the video game news. And I do have only one, which is unfortunately, and EA normally doesn't comment on this, but EA. By the way, EA, what a terrible publisher. Okay, what a bunch of idiots up there. Yeah. They said Dead Cells did not sell as much as they want, so they cancelled Dead Cells 2. They were going to make a remake of Dead Cells 2, but the first one didn't sell.
Oh, that must have hurt you.
He did hurt me.
He did hurt something rotten.
He did hurt me because the first Dead Cells. Dead Space, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, Dead Space 2.
That's it, Dead Cells.
So
you said Dead Cells, yeah.
Oh, sorry, Dead Space, yeah.
Ah, right.
Dead Space. Yeah, they were preliminarily thinking about Dead Space 2, but because it only sold like 2 million copies, it didn't even come close.
Yeah, to I mean I hadn't heard that, but that's like, you know, that goes back to your comment about the developers going under. It's like the way video games are made and the expectations and how much they cost to make and all of that sort of stuff. It's not working. Yeah. It's not sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to confirm, because we were talking about Dead Cells earlier, and that Cells was in my head. I meant Dead Space, not Dead Cells. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And because it was not written down, I'm using my mind palace to get the stuff from, and it just I'm gonna start using mind palace a lot.
it's more like Kenworth Castle, is it? It's like falling apart. It's got no walls. There isn't a roof.
yes, absolutely. No. Incidentally, Dead Cells sold, you know, well enough. They're not making a Dead Cells 2, they're making another game, but Dead Cells is fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with Dead Cells. No,
Nothing wrong with Dead Space.
There isn't nothing wrong with Dead Space. I want to hear because I thought it was pertinent because you have it on your playlist. But EA, honestly, I tried the golf game. They have the PGA Tour thing they have on Game Pass. Yeah, and you guys know I have a stupid ultra wide monitor, which is fine. It's my own fault, right? And I can appreciate that not every game is going to support that. That's fine. And I'm not going to complain about games that don't support that, right? So, you launch the game, and it forces you on the 16:9 game. 16:9 aspect ratio, right? But stretches. I'm like, okay, I don't want that. Just put it, you know. So then I quit the game. I change my Windows resolution to 16:9. Yeah? I launch the game again, and it goes stretch again. It's just all fucking broken. Literally, I think this is what they do. They release it for Xbox and for PlayStation, the game. They go copy-paste PC and then just drop it and go like, hope it works. They do fuck all work with their PC builds. You know, same was, I think the Star Wars game had lots of features on PC as well. They just don't give a fuck. They treat PCs, PC players, as second-class citizens. Honestly, it's EA can do one. Honestly, they have so many good games, you know, and good studios, but they just couldn't give a fuck about the PC player. Honestly, just stood my head in. Yeah. Anyway, and now they cancel that space too. Fuck.
Yeah, no, I mean, with EA in general, I mean, they're taking their prize franchises, which is basically their sports games at this point, and Battlefield, and just running them into the ground, and everything else can just go to hell.
Yeah, but it sucks, but like business, that's where they make all their money. Those are the ones; those are the only games that people play every year.
Now, yeah, absolutely. Now, I get that that if that space didn't sell enough, you don't make another one. I know that's business 101. I didn't buy the game, but what I did was I pay the EA's premium whatever for like a couple months, yeah, and I played the game then. You know, so I did. Mm-hmm. What they want me to do, right? That's what, if they want me to do it, they wouldn't offer that as an option, right? So I did my bit. I paid for EA Premium for a couple months while I played, or a month or two, you know, and I played the game, and I was like, that's great. You know, it's going to be on Game Pass at some point anyway, so I'm not going to buy it, you know, and it is on Game Pass now, right? Or on EA Play. But anyway, that's the news. Let's move over to the playlist then. And this is the part of the show where we talk about the video games we've been playing the last couple of weeks, and let me start with Evil West. Okay, let's start with Evil West. You've been playing this, Marius. I played a couple hours with myself as well. So why don't you go ahead with it?
Yeah, so this is like, I mean, what it wants to be is Wild West Blade, really. That's sort of the tone that I think it's looking for. And it does feel very comic booky in that sort of way. You are playing these sort of cowboys, these sort of organization that are trying to protect the Old West in America from vampires and monsters and shit. And it, like...
Bulletstorm on it as well.
You are, sorry?
Bit of Bulletstorm.
Bulletstormish. Yeah, there's a little bit of Bulletstorm to it. And this was one of those games that is sort of a bit bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. I'm really enjoying it.
Like, it's a 7 out of 10. It's a 7 out of 10. That's a 9 it's type, like, of game. Yeah.
It's really old in terms of design. Mm-hmm. It is like cutscene, walk through a bit, maybe pick up a few glowing collectibles, walk to the next bit, you get locked into a circular arena where some basic enemies run out, you deal with the basic ones, then they throw in the more challenging ones with a few more basic ones with them. You get to the end of the level, there's a boss, you deal with that, there's another cutscene, then you start again, then they start throwing the bosses in as sort of standard enemies, and repeat that until the end of game. Thus far, I haven't seen anything different to that, and I cannot imagine they're suddenly going to pull the rug from under me and do something fantastically different.
The story is good. The presentation of the cinematics is good.
Yeah, the story. I mean, it's okay. I'm not really paying much attention to it. It is an entirely switch off your brain game, as far as I'm concerned. I do think, though, you know, the combat is good. I mean, it would have to be, because that's what the game solely relies on, basically. And like, it does things in the court. Like, there's no ammo. It works on cooldowns, basically. And like, it's not quite. Some things they do double up on, but it's almost like each weapon has its own button. Rather than just using the, you know, aim and fire, each weapon has a button, sort of thing.
It's a bit more, like, than, because that's parry mechanics as well. There's a bit of Souls-like combat as well, in terms of parrying at the right time and then countering and
I mean, I wouldn't call it Souls-like combat personally.
A bit of dodging.
That's a stretch. Dodging and parrying was done well before sure. Souls games, and sure. Like, it's not. It has no elements of Souls to me. I mean, I think you can turn on a like a permadeath mode if you want to count that as Souls-like, but other than that, I don't think there's any Souls-like stuff in there. It's just classic action combat, man, dodging and parrying. You've got like a big melee thing. You can do like juggle combos, punch people up into the air, then shoot them with your revolver, or continue punching them. Oh yeah, there's standard sort of environmental things that you can like punch them up in the air and then smack them into the spiked thing or the explodey thing.
That's the Bulletstorm part I was referring to, I think.
I mean, stupid, dumb, a little bit rubbish, but brilliant.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass as well, so it's a no-brainer if you have Game Pass.
I think the one thing as well that I wanted to mention, like, I think, like, whilst I sort of quite like the way that they've done it with this cooldown and the, like, each weapon being on a button, I think it does mean they sort of run out of buttons. So, like, for example, there's a kick move that you can do to interrupt enemies' unblockable attacks, which they put on the R3 button. On the stick, you click down on the stick, and I just find that really awkward when you need to do it quickly.
it's interesting to hear all of this, because I played on mouse and keyboard. I had no issues because I have all the keys. I think I played on mouse and keyboard. I'm saying that, I don't know, because my brain, you know, it doesn't remember things, but I'm pretty sure I played on mouse and keyboard. But, you know, it's one of those, I'll probably start playing again. I was like, oh no, I played with the controller. But I think I played or maybe I started on mouse and keyboard and went to controller, or vice versa. I don't know. One of those things happen. You know, pick one and just go with that. You know, that can become the meta. I don't care.
But as a Game Pass game, well worth it, you know. Or if it, I don't know how much they're trying to flog it for non-Game Pass, but you know, how long to beat? I think it's about a 10-hour game. I think I'm about halfway through it. So, like, if this was like £20 or something like that, I'd like.
Currently, 65% off. You can get it for £15.74.
Oh yeah, that. So yeah, if you didn't have Game Pass at that, I think that's exactly where this game sits. And I'm it's good. I like it.
Interestingly enough, this is a Focus Entertainment game. We started noticing a lot that Focus Entertainment they do a lot of good stuff.
Interesting stuff. It's not just like all of their games that have something new and different to offer. I feel like even if they're not all for you, I think they do some. They're not like Annapurna, like off the wall, random or Devolver, where some also like.
Is it? Really they did the Bramble King like, as well. Bramble King was from them, and obviously
the Plague Tale,
which we like a lot. A lot of good stuff that they do. Are you gonna give it a try, the EVOS? That's too many games. I know.
It's been on my list to play for a while. I mean, when I saw it. Like the launch trailer and everything, I was like, this looks like big dumb fun, like it knows what it wants to be, and like it doesn't overstay its welcome either. It's what 6 to 8 hours, something like that. Not too terribly long, so
I really like that point. On the Xbox app it says that how long to beat. That's one thing that's not on Steam. They should just add it, because I'm sure it's an easy thing. I'm sure how long to beat's not gonna go like, oh no, you cannot use it. I'm sure they'll be like, yeah, cool, we'll just put it on, you know, because it's advertising, isn't it, for both sides. So they should put how long to beat on Steam. That's
I mean, how long to beat me is one of my key factors as to when I'm making that game do I play next is how long to beat always comes into that.
And finally, on Evil West, it looks good. Graphically, it looks decent. Yeah, it's a nice looking game. Right, let's move over to a game I've been playing, and that's Baldur's Gate 3. So, as you guys know, I bought the game December last year. November, December, I got it for a good deal. So I bought it with full intention of playing it before the end of the year, see if it would be. And then I never got around to it. And, you know, cut to it's April, you know, and I, Emily was working. So I had the morning, I was at home by myself. I'm like, okay, I'll play a few video games in the morning, which I normally don't do. And I was like, okay, what do I play? You know, I'll play more Balatro. You know, I'm bloody obsessed with Balatro, you know, but then I'm like, no, I'm going to try one of these games that I bought. And Baldur's Gate was the one I picked. Incidentally, it needed an update, which was like, 10 gig or something. So I did a quick game of Balatro as he updated, you know. and then the 10 gig takes no time in my internet. So then I was like, okay, now you have to wait because I'm finishing this Balatro game. Then I had to play another 2 times the Balatro, and then I quit Balatro. Balatro is like Vampire Survivors, that type of thing. No, don't play it. Okay, don't ever play it. Okay.
I mean, it's not for me, Balatro.
Don't play it. Take over your life. But and then I said Baldur's Gate 3 and. I would say that point and click, not point and click, that point, what's that called? That type of game where you point where you want the enemy to go is I don't know if there's a name for it, but isometric. Boring. You would think so, right? You would think so.
You mean like Diablo style? Like,
Diablo style, clicky, yeah. Clicky, like, go yeah. there, yeah. Like the go original there, Fallout click, games was yeah. isometric. And straight away, the story, I can tell the beginning of the story because it's the beginning of the story, but straight away it got my attention. So, you're on this alien spaceship flying through the air, and then this ugly-looking tentacle guy comes in, goes into this pool of water with some larvae things, yeah? Grabs this, like, larvae animal thing, goes towards this character, puts this thing, like, it looks like a sandworm from Dune, but, like, tiny, yeah? And goes through the eye and then into the brain, yeah? And then you're like, oh, okay, wow, really good presentation, really good. And then it cuts to you, first-person camera coming towards you, and then cuts to black. You make your character, okay? So you make your character up, and then the game starts, yeah. And basically, this is very very early on, so because I've only played like 2 or 3 hours, right? Basically, so far all the main characters, all of them have this ticking bomb on their brain. Right, where they have to come up with a cure obviously to fix them, so they kind of have to work together to get it. But anyway, so I started the game proper, and I realized, first of all, this game is hard. Okay, don't just go fighting thinking you can just go and start kicking around the ass, because it's the opposite. But basically, the game works. You point and click where you want to go. Right, but when you go into a fight, it becomes like more like XCOM, you know, like where you have your movement, you can select where your guy's gonna go, and if you know, and then you can only go so far, and then if you move too far, then you might not have enough, you know, stamina left for attacking or defending, anything like that. So it becomes a bit more like an XCOM, like a tactical thing. I'm still getting used to it, but I quite like that. But what really impressed me with it is, I go into a part early on in the game where I'm forced to make a decision straight away between this character that was with you or these two other characters. And all the voice acting is so good, yeah, and all the facial animations, everything. I don't know what's a side character, what's a main character, you know? They're all, like, really well done. And that's good. That's really good, right? I don't remember playing a game ever where I go like, hang on a second, do I want to kill them or do I want to... Probably made me make a decision, like, who do I kill? Because they both look so good, and the, you know, voice acting, everything's good. So what do I go here with? Anyway, and I'm playing my guy's a thief, like rogue character. I'm putting stuff into, you know, trying to make him more charismatic, and basically a thief that can steal your wallet as you're talking to him, kind of thing. I went on to another side quest, and I found these guys that were trying to get into these ruins, and I managed to scare them away with my persuasion. Yeah, then I jumped down to this dark cavern here and got my ass absolutely handed to me. So it's a bit like Souls, like if you wander into the wrong area, you know, when you're not ready, you can fuck you up. But that's cool stuff, like If the door is open, you can see on isometric, you can see everything inside the other room, right? But if the door closes, everything goes black, because you technically cannot see past that door because the door is closed. There's little stuff like that. I mean, it looks gorgeous. The acting, voice acting is top-notch. The story is really good so far. And it's very compelling. I can see why this won so many games of the year. And it's one of those. I honestly think that if you actually gave it a shot, you might actually, this could be a game for you, actually, because it's really that good. It really is. It doesn't have the role playing things of the tabletop things of I'm going to do that, or let me do a roll for it, right? Let me do a roll for it. Mm-hmm. It does have that, you know, which is quite cool. And what it does is you roll for it with a 20 dice, whatever it's called, D20. But if you're, for instance, if I'm doing that for persuasion, maybe I need to roll a 10 at least, right? But then if I have persuasion skills, it gives me a +2 as well. So whatever the dice does, +2, because I have that already. I don't know if that's what happens in real D&D. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. Yep. I've never played, but yep. There you go. Really clever, you know, and I'm really impressed so far by this. And I know it's not my type of game at all, and I'm loving it. And I know it's not your type of game, Marius, at all. And I think you would really dig it. It's a proper gamer's game.
I sort of like the idea of it, but again, it's one of those, it puts me off because it sounds like there's just too much of it, and I want to see it all.
Yeah, so, I mean, the main thing with the game going in, I mean, there's a lot going on with it. Like, there's a lot of different mechanics. Like, if you have knowledge of D&D, then you kind of have a little bit more knowledge going into the game, because it's very much D&D based. Like, everything is stuff that you would do in D&D, you can do in this game, basically. I mean, the main things that I really love about it is, like, every area, every situation is extremely tactics based. If you get the high ground before attacking, then you can, like, potentially scare them off, or, I mean, they can't really damage you. Like, if you flank them, If you trick them into like a trap or something like that, I mean, there's all these different kind of things that you can do in the game, and you can do it a bunch of different ways. You can do it by, you know, using your charisma. You can do it by dexterity. You can do it by strength. Like, it, whatever build that you have, there, all these options are available to you, and that's the thing that is just phenomenal.
Is it true that you can play most of the game without fighting as well? You can do a lot of stealth or bard. You can be a bard as well, and just there's lots of different ways to play the game without obviously. I went for stealth. I wanna hurt things, obviously. But I wanna, more importantly, I wanna be sneaky and I wanna steal stuff. I like stealing stuff in game. Okay, that's why I love Skyrim. I'm always thief's guild number one. Like, that's the first quest I do. I do enough to so I can get to the thief's guild, and then that's the quest I do. I wanna go become the grandmaster of the thief's guild. I love stuff like that. I love going in and stealing. Yeah, I don't know why, but yeah. All that to say that I've only played 2 or 3 hours yesterday, so fresh in my mind, and I haven't stopped thinking about it. Like, I'm like, I want to go back and try that. I want to go back and try this, and I cannot stress how good the acting is. The acting is really, really top notch, and the story is really good so far. You were putting your headphones on again when I said that, but basically, you have this fucking worm in your brain that's going to turn you into one of those things.
I heard about the worm brain.
Yeah. But it's like a ticking time bomb that you need to deal with. I want to go back to it and play. I mean, I'm really impressed by it. Really, really impressed. And I didn't think I would be. I bought it because, you know, I bought it because I wanted to play it because, you know, we talk podcast about video games. So I wanted to play the game. And I think sometimes you should challenge yourself and play games outside of your comfort zone. This one is definitely outside of my comfort zone. It's definitely very RPG heavy, like on the lots of fucking things. There's a lot of things on my things that I can use. I have no idea what to do. There was one called Deep, right? And I was like, what is this shit, right? And I was near fire. I didn't know what happened, but what happened was I saw the NPC do it. So the NPC dipped the sword, right, into the fire, and the fire went, the sword came on fire, and I was like, so then I went to my character, went near the fire, pressed dip, and then he dipped the sword and went on fire as well, so he did fire damage as well, and I'm like, that's fucking cool. And I'm like, I'm gonna remember that. So there's so much shit there, I have no idea, because I've never played D&D. But even coming from an outsider's point of view, it's so good, you know, and I cannot imagine how much better it is even for somebody that likes D&D and that's played D&D. That I can see why this game is so highly regarded. Fucking brilliant. Yeah, so I'm going to definitely play more of it and come back to you guys on that. But yeah, what a game. Right, let's move over then to a game that sounds like it's my type of game and your type of game, Marius, that Ron has been playing. we were saying, because his name is Aaron. Have you seen the
EMPL skit?
Yeah, where he's doing the roll call in school. He's like
substitute
teacher, and then he's reading all the names wrong. A Ron,
you done messed up, A Ron.
Anyway, sorry. Donut, what's this Blaze Blue Entropy Effect then? Tell us about it.
BlazBlue Entropy Effect. So BlazBlue is like this fighting game franchise, and they decided to have this developer, I think it's 91-bit or something like that. Let me look to make sure. 91X, sorry.
Okay.
They were sourced to make this sort of Dead Cells-ish type game.
Yeah.
And they brought in like the fighting styles of the BlazBlue fighting games into this. So there's 10 characters. There's 5 stages that you have to complete to beat a run, basically. And each stage has multiple sections. So each section, you will get an upgrade when you beat it. So you can get an upgrade to your character's abilities that they have. You can get elemental upgrades. You can get health upgrades, your action point upgrades. I'm not going to do this game justice trying to explain it, because there is just so much to it. But
you are doing it justice.
After you complete a run, your character is basically saved, and you get to keep a couple of the special abilities that you collected along the way, and that character is then saved into this grid. And so then on your next run, whatever character you select, you can then add that character with those powers into your power set. And so then you have their special ability that you can use at times. And like, there's hundreds and hundreds of combos, different moves, different variations that you can do. And one of the coolest things that I like, I don't know if this team that built this game worked on the BlazBlue fighting games first or not. But they were able to put this fighting game combo system into this game and build it into basically a roguelike that just is fluid, fast, fun.
This looks amazing. What are you saying? The levels, I mean, you complete the sections, are they like Dead Cells, where they're randomly generated? So randomly assigned, or are they always the same level that you play?
So it's always the same level sets, but like, so you get to, like, it's basically like a section that you have to go through. You navigate, you fight the enemies, and once you've completed that section, then you move on. And so then it's going to give you an option. Do you want to go to the shop? Do you want to go heal? Do you want to go get an upgrade for your character? Do you want this elemental upgrade? Do you want
elemental upgrade? Like Slay the Spire kind of thing.
And so once you go through, and I tried to see if there was a certain amount for each level that you go through before you face the boss, but it seemed like it was just kind of random at times. Like, sometimes it was like 6 or 7 for like the first level. And then there was one time that I had like 9 sections before I faced the boss of the first level.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, in Dead Cells, you can choose the zones you go to. You can go to the sewers, or you can go to the top. I'm forgetting the name of the top now, but the levels themselves are randomly generated, so they always look different, you know, like not the same.
That would be the one thing. Like, it doesn't really have the random generated levels. They're pretty much the same layout. The fifth level does have like a random, like, it is a much bigger sprawling level where there's a couple upgrades hidden in the level that you can find. Yeah. And then there's also 2 mini bosses that you can fight, or you can go directly to the final boss if you want to, depending on where you find them.
The reason I said this is my type of game and your type of game, obviously sounds like my type of game big time, from the roguelike aspect and the to the Metroidvania. Is there Metroidvania in it, or just no? There is a Metroidvania. There's Metroidvania here on Steam.
Only the fifth level is what I would say is like a Metroidvania, and it's not really that.
Sure, but the reason I think it's good for Marius though. Is because it's the combo thing, the fighting combo, which you like, doing the fighting thing, but in a 2D platformer. I think this could be good for both. So you're saying on the last one, there's a bit of Metroidvania, so
you have to navigate this final level, and so it kind of branches in different areas, so there might be an upgrade in in that branch path, there might be a mini boss, or it might be the final boss.
You see, my thing with Base Blue, I've only played one Base Blue, and I think it was on a 360. I don't remember when I played it. It was basically just fucking girls in bikinis fighting. You know, that's what I remember from it. It was very, very, physics. You know, like the live one. You know, that's what I remember from it. You know what I mean?
It's a bit anime.
Very anime. Yeah. Very anime.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very. I can't think of the term. But yeah. No, this doesn't have that.
No, it doesn't look like it does. It doesn't look like it does.
No.
It looks really good. I've just been watching a video of it. Yeah, it does look interesting.
And yeah.
It's on my wish list.
It's got an interesting little story that is kind of pieced together as you play along as well. What the entropy effect is and like who you're working for doing all these runs basically is it's like a test.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah. And you know, they have nice like challenge modes where you can fight the bosses using your characters that you built previously. I think they're also doing like, it's either a dual mode or a co-op mode that they're working on now too, which even better yet.
I was going to say though, this looks good and it's on my wish list and I'll have to get it at some point. Obviously I need to play, Shadow of the Colossus. First, because I lose my hair, you need to try Loopmancer because both myself and Maris played Loopmancer, and Loopmancer there's a lot of similarities to this. Loopmancer is the good thing. The thing about Loopmancer as well is, especially if you've got a good graphics card, like I know you do, it looks pretty as fuck, and it's got ray tracing. So ray tracing in a 2D environment, like just looks next level. The graphics on Loopmancer are something else. Yeah, like the and the gameplay loop is really good as well. Yeah. So yeah, but no, this Base Blue entropy effect sounds good. It's definitely I'm definitely gonna give it a go at some point. When I don't know, but I definitely want to play it. Right, let's move over to Maris again. Maris, you've been playing Dead Space the remake, right? Not the original.
Correct.
Did you finish it?
I
have two questions. Did you finish? Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. How many weapons did you use?
Oh, I used more.
Oh.
I don't know. I can't count.
You didn't use the plasma cutter?
No, I did not. I mean, that is... I seriously considered it, because that is
the way to really play that game.
I mean, the plasma cutter was the only weapon that I upgraded. But no, and part of that I did on purpose because I'd heard they'd made some tweaks to the weapons and things like that, and that is definitely one of the improvements that they made with the game. Mm-hmm. Is that it is now fun to play the game with the other weapons.
Yeah,
they actually have a purpose and they're actually useful.
Yeah,
I found basically they were almost entirely pointless in the first game. They might as well have not been in there in the original. Obviously, like in terms of the changes and stuff that they've done, I mean, there's the obvious stuff that, you know, it looks a hell of a lot prettier. And you know, it does that perfect thing of, you know, it feels exactly like the original, even though things aren't the same, you know, it still feels like the original.
Yeah.
I think they added some stuff that wasn't needed. Like they sort of chucked in a few token side missions involves backtracking, and I'm like, well, the game didn't need backtrack. That doesn't add anything. That just means I'm going through the same stuff that I've already seen to go and, well, basically pick up a thing. Like, so
the whole Ishimura is you can traverse it pretty much.
You can, but I don't, why? Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Perhaps not.
So personally, for me, I didn't feel, because I was like, I didn't want to go and backtrack. I was like, I can't be bothered to go back. Like, I just sort of, it was that.
It's a side quest, though. You don't have to do it.
No, I know. Yeah, but I don't. it didn't add anything for me. Like,
get you. Yeah.
Like, personally, it just didn't add anything. Wasn't interested in that. What else did they change? Like the
Zero G is different, and I think it's better.
The Zero G, yeah. It used to be you would stand in one point, and then you could point to another point and go. And now it's like a, you know, free roam type. You can fly around, which is better. They tweak the infamous turret sections.
They're also better.
I still didn't find those sections great, I've got to be honest. But they were that they're definitely a huge improvement on the previous ones. But this is clearly the best version of Dead Space, which is one of the best games ever made, in my opinion. It's
sound design is great in this.
I mean, the sound design was great before, but like, I think it's they've improved on what was essentially perfect. Yeah. Like, just everything about it, like the, you know, it does like a bit like the Hellblade. You know, it has that. There's some like it's not as much, but like, you know, that there's some weird whispering and things going on at points during the game, and you know, there's fake outs where just like things are clanging and stuff like that that makes you think things are going on, and the like and like, you know, the going into a vacuum when the sound just all drops out, the sound of his breathing. It's fucking perfect, man. I can't, like, this is like and I don't think there's anything close in terms of sound design to this game.
No, nothing comes
as close to this. This is head and shoulders above anything else that I've ever heard.
I saw before the game came out, I saw the YouTube video of them talking about the development of the game and showing how they did the sound design. And if you actually look at that, if you check it out on YouTube, you'll see stuff like on the corridors. What they done was they done stuff like this. For instance, if I'm here and there's a wall right in front of my face, and then a corridor to the left, right, and on the other side an enemy is going right, making noise. The noise travels down the corridor, through the door and back this way, and you can hear it faint there as you get closer. You hear more, but you don't hear it, as much through the door because they made it proper, like working in their environment, so they made the sound work like it's supposed to work. And guess what? It creates a phenomenal.
It's probably the best thing about the game, to be honest with you. I think it is amazing.
Art direction is good as well.
Like again, the game is about the atmosphere. I think
yes.
That's what it's all about. You know, it's like Alien, isn't it? You know, you're in this spaceship with these creepy things coming out of the dark at you. I think, you know, the story is quite good and quite well told. Again, they made some tweaks to that in that, like, Isaac, the main character, can now talk. So he gets involved in the story a bit more, and they tweak some of the script and stuff to make that work. I think, you know, some of the design bits are slightly showing their age now. Namely, you know, it's that when you do get to a story bit and there's a cutscene, it's like all doors are locked. You can see someone through a window that you're talking with. They walk off and then suddenly, mysteriously, all the doors open as soon as they're out there. So you can never actually be in the same room as them. And it's like, why are the doors suddenly open? Now, like what? Yeah. Like, you know,
because they released them.
They just walked out the room.
I know. It's
like there's a few little things like that, and there's a lot of stamping on stuff. And again, the stamp is a really good stamp, you know.
From the first game as well, the stamping.
Do we really need? I have a bit of a thing about picking up stuff in video games. I think we are overly reliant on pressing a button to pick up stuff. There's too much of that. And again, that's sort of one of those, you know, that's probably my thing, I guess, more than anything. Yeah. But like, I find it a bit annoying, that sort of thing, when you just have to pick up loads of stuff all the time. The HUD as well is still great. Amazing. The way it's all built into the game. It's built into his suit. It's all on there, or it's built into the weapons with the ammo count. The map is good. I think they made some tweaks to the map as well from the old one. And the little sort of waypoint thing that
it's still scary. You know, just still scary. Yeah. It can still make you fucking jump. You know what I mean? Like
yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, we mentioned the plasma cutter, the whole idea of, you know, having to be precise with your shots to, you know, take the limbs off and yeah, man.
So where does this sit as far as remake goes when you compare it to something like the Resi 2 remake? Because we know that's the normally the high watermark. I mean, certainly, like we said, in terms of sound design, nothing comes close to it. And by the way, the sound design thing as well, I honestly think the reason that developers don't spend as much time on it is because I think it's underappreciated. I think somebody will say more, oh, the game looks great, or the game does this, but and sound is hardly ever something that somebody goes like, wow, the sound. But it doesn't.
I mean, and I think particularly so for this type of game, when you are going for that horror vibe, the sound is one of the most important things, I think.
The sound builds the atmosphere.
It does. But what does it see on the remake part then?
I still think Resident Evil 2 is the better remake. Simply because I think they were a bit more ballsy with it. They made some more. They changed a bit more. They updated that game more than this game. This is essentially just Dead Space again.
Yeah. So they've
tweaked it a little bit so it plays a bit nicer. But essentially, the game is the same. The story is the same. They haven't whereas Resi 2, it did. You know, it's the same game, but it's not, man.
No.
So for me, I think that's why Resi sort of takes it a bit for me.
I agree, but I think it's very very.
We're talking like a hairline here.
Very close. And every time I talk about Resi 2, I keep thinking to myself, that's only like five or 6 hour campaign. I mean, I need to play the game again because that game is good.
I know it's not supposed to be as good, but Resident Evil 3 is on Game Pass, and I think that's going to be on my list in the near future.
RE3 remake is just fine. I mean, the problem is they just cut out a couple sections, like they didn't fully remake the game.
All right.
And so it's a lot shorter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's still good. If you like the second one, you're going to like the third one. You're just going to be disappointed that it's like 5 hours.
No, that's not I fundamentally disagree. That is nothing. There is nothing disappointing about that donut. I'm like, yes, give me 5 hours.
Moving on then to the next one, because conscious of the time, especially for you, donut. It's early hours now. That for you. You also played A Little to the Left, which is another game I played and I really like. I wanted to hear what you think, because. Let's hear it.
I enjoyed it for an hour.
Sure, that's fine.
Is one of those games. I did quite like. So I guess for those that aren't familiar with it, this is a organization simulator, essentially. So you have you'll have a load of items, sort of, you know, just sort of 2D type display. There'll be some items. So to start with, it starts off, there'll be some pictures hanging on the wall, and you click them with the mouse to straighten the pictures because they're not straight. It starts off like that, and then it gets more complicated. There'll be more things to organise. There'll be multiple solutions to the organisation as well. Like a row of books, maybe you can organize them by height, or the like on the edge spine. Of the books. Thank you. I wanted to call it the backbone, but I knew it wasn't backbone. I was like, what is it? Thank you for rescuing me there. It's fine. Right.
But can I just say, if it was the other way around, you would let me squirm.
I would let you squirm, absolutely, yeah.
just so we know.
I appreciate even more the fact that you did that, because I know I wouldn't have done it for you. Yeah. So like, if there might be a picture, you know, there's a pattern on there that you could organise it to make sure the pattern all lines up and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that very much appeals to my obsessive and compulsive tendencies. I think, and even though it has the multiple solutions, I think part of the thing that I'd sort of had enough of it. It was like the game pushes you. I felt it was like, oh, you have to do it a certain way, and it's like, yeah, but that's not my
whole game.
That's not how my brain wants to do it. And if I'm organizing stuff, I want it done the way my brain wants it done.
Yeah.
And that was what ultimately stopped me. I do really like the hint system.
Yes.
There's like there's a sketch pad, and it's all scribbled over. So there's a solution underneath it, and then you've got a rubber that you can just rub out bits of the solution. So you don't. Yeah. I really like that. I love like Animeter Design that do. I'm blanking at the name. Machinarium. They have really cool hint systems that just show you a little bit at a time.
It's funny. I was thinking exactly the same thing. Machinarium. As you were talking, yeah. I was thinking. This is how my brain was working. As you were talking, my brain was like, "Yeah, that's like Machinarium." And then my brain was like, "I need to play Machinarium again because the game is so freaking good." Have you played that? I don't know if it's Machinarium or Machinarium. I don't know which. Have you played it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have. Okay,
long time.
It's ago. Funny. I was listening to. Actually, no, I'm not gonna derail you. I'll tell you afterwards. You finish.
I mean, too late. You already have derailed.
Yeah. But I'm not gonna derail you further.
So I really like that, and I do like the fact, and I used this a few times because I was like, I'm not getting this, and it's like I particularly struggled. Like, there's some. It wants you to organise them by colour.
Yeah.
And I sort of struggled that one. Again, it's just the way my brain works. That's not how I think about stuff. But you can just go, no, skip this one. Don't want to do this one and move on to the next one. And there is a disruptive cat, which, being a cat owner myself, I love. So like you can you'll be organizing something and suddenly a cat's paw will come in and move your stuff, and you have to like grab it back off the cat.
I love that.
Which, you know, I really like that. So yeah, I didn't play through all of it. Like I got my fill out of it. I sort of like, again, I like the idea more than the execution. I sort of almost would like it to not be a game and just have all those things, do all those screens, but for me to just put them wherever I want to put them
and not
have a solution that is defined. I would have just enjoyed putting those things where I wanted them without the game telling me whether that's right or not. I would have preferred that.
Yeah, I agree to everything you said, and I like it probably as much as you do, but maybe a tiny bit more, mainly because I do like a lot of the things that they're doing there, but I like that there's multiple solutions. So, like you're talking about, like for this one with pencil, for instance, the ones with the pencils are quite interesting. So you have like these pencils, and then you have the carbon part of the pencil. You know, it will be longer and going to longer short. So you arrange them in that order, and then bam, you got a star. But there's like three ways for solutions. So you go back to it. I'm like, okay, what other way? And then you look at the pencils and you're like, oh, let me put them in the color of a rainbow. Like, yeah. And boom, you got a solution. I'm like, oh, there's another solution. And you go back to it. I'm like, oh yeah, the rubbers are different. Let me put them by the arrange them by the size of, you know, the rubber. That type of solution. You know, maybe I'm mixing up a couple of different solutions from different things there, but you know what I mean? But there's all of that. I quite like that, but I always say some of them should be more like, you know, let me come up with my solution. However, they do have a thing which is pretty much, nah, next one, please. And just,
yeah, that's what. Yeah, that's what. Just, yeah, it is. It's like, yeah, skip this one, which is fine, which yeah. I like. But like, yeah. So I'd always like for me, it's just add a zero challenge mode where I don't have to do. I can organize them until I'm happy with it, and then say I'm happy. Give me the next one.
And then get scored on it or whatnot.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah.
It's a fun game. It's on Game Pass though, so it's a no brainer. If just try it, it's what I like about it as well. It's on cloud, most Game Pass games are. But on the cloud, you can play it on your phone on the cloud, and you can actually use the drag and drop as if you are doing using a mouse, which not many games do that. So it's quite good to play on your phone. Sometimes I just put it on my phone. I just do a daily one. Like, cool, I had my fill and I'm done, and just come off the cloud again. So it's good for that. All right, moving on to our last game, and that's Content Warning, which this game it looks interesting, but it came out. I think they did the thing which is very clever, which is they came out day one, the game is free to pick up, but then after day one, you pay money for it, so to get the people in. So tell us about it, Content Warning.
So I mean, Content Warning is essentially like a Lethal Company aspect type game. So it's 2 to 4 players where you are influencers. And so you have to go down into what's called the old world and film some scary stuff and upload it to SpookTube to get likes. So you start out with just flashlights and a camera, go down, meet some of the crazy monsters, and hopefully survive with the camera, get the camera back up, upload it, and then the most fun thing is you get to watch what you recorded. And so you basically create your own little video clip. You can do intros. There's a green screen where you can do different things, before you even go down. So it's a nifty little thing that you can do with it. And then as you progress and get money from your likes and everything, then you can get, sound equipment. You can get, party poppers and all different kinds of crazy things to enhance your videos even more for more likes. So I mean, it's a good time, especially if you were able to get it for free. You can't beat that price.
It's £6, though. It's not. We're not talking exactly mega money anyway for the game. So it's not a
no. Yeah, I mean that's the other nice thing. It's not expensive. If you missed out on the first 24 hours, you definitely need a group to play, just like Lethal Company. And it's still early in the game's life. There's a lot of bugs. It seems like getting to 4 players has been difficult at times. If we have people joining too fast, then someone gets bugged out and they have to restart their computer, and it's a whole
never fun.
Yeah. So it's still a work in progress, but there is a lot of fun to be had. Watching the videos is the best part of it, for sure.
Okay. Well, that's a good recommendation there. I missed the 24-hour thing. I didn't know it was. And then I bought the game, and then I heard that you couldn't play 4-player because it was a bit bugged. And I was like, I never know if I'm gonna play. So I just refunded the game, and I'm like, if I play the game in the future, I'll just buy it again. But it could be one of those that I might play again. So I might play with people. I actually played it at all. I might play again in the future if it becomes a rotation game. But if it doesn't, I'm okay just to look at the videos, the funny videos, and enjoy the game that way. But it's funny. I hardly ever refund games on Steam. But it's amazing how easy it is. Just go to it. Go nope, don't like the game. Or whatever reason you want to give. And they're like, here's your money back, sir. You know, no questions asked. You know, as long as you haven't played the game for, you know, for 2 hours or whatever it is.
2 hours or 2 weeks.
Yeah, whatever. Which is fair. I think it's fair that they do quite a good thing, and they don't make you jump through lots of hoops. So send a company headed letter to this post box, and then we'll think about it. You know. Anyway, that's content warning there. Let's move over then to the final part of the show, which is called Why Don't You, which is the part of the show where we talk about, we give you a recommendation of something to do, watch, or read, or anything really, over the next couple weeks. And we have some ones here. Okay, well, let me start with this is going to be an interesting one, because. Three Body Problem is recommended by Martin. It's on Netflix, and it's based on a when I say it's a funny one, it's because I haven't seen it yet. I do want to watch it, but hang on a second, it's a recommendation from him to everyone else, right? So right.
Okay,
so
I see. That, I see. Okay,
so that's right, fine. Okay, right. Not from me.
I thought you were taking it as your recommendation.
Oh no! I have my own recommendation, okay. Which all I'll right, give okay. you in a second. This is his recommendation. But what I'm going to say about Three Body Problem is, let me just give you some of the, let me whet your appetite, right? It's based on a science fiction book that won the Hugo Award for Best Science Fiction, which is high praise, you know, like all the great science fiction books win that. So we won that by a Chinese writer. And the directors of this are the Game of Thrones people, the brothers from Game of Thrones, and they have a lot of the Game of Thrones actors in it. It's in space. It's in Netflix. Looks really good. Need I say more? You know, that's a good recommendation. You know, why not? Right. So that's all I can say. I haven't seen it more than that. To be fair to Martin, he did say watch a couple of episodes before you recommend it, so you can talk about it. And I. Haven't, so there you go. But it is his recommendation, and that's a listen recommendation, right? So why not try Three Body Problem on Netflix? I do have one though, and that is I went to the cinema to watch Dune Part 2. And have you guys seen Dune Part 1?
I have seen Dune Part 1.
Yeah. So Dune Part 2, funny enough, picks up after Dune Part 1 ends. I'm a big fan of the book. I read the audiobook. By the way, I saw the Twitch in the face from Donut. I went back and forward through this on how to describe. Do you say listen to an audiobook or not? And I was listening to a book recently, and then at the end of it, the author says, you know, this was a whatever production. Thank you for being an audiobook reader. Yeah, that was what he said, and I was like, I'm with that. From now on, I always say I've read that audiobook, and that's how I'm gonna go.
I'm happy with it. I think that can be interchangeable. Read or listened, both perfectly acceptable.
Yes. So I'm gonna go with I like the read, so I'm gonna go with read. Mainly because he pisses people off a bit as well, especially you know the people that's the
true Bruno answer. That yeah, is the that, reason yeah, why he does it.
It pisses them off a bit. It's like when I call and it's true, but I refuse to say the word actor. You hardly ever hear me saying actress. Yeah? It's very difficult. I'm sure if you rewind, I've said a couple of times, but 99.9% of the time I call them actors. I both because the term is interchangeable. Actor is and he pisses off people like, do you mean actress? I'm like, no, I mean actor. Why is there a best actress at the Oscars? I'm like, I don't know. Don't ask me. You know, the actor. Anyway, he pisses off people
because they don't want to say best female actor.
Yeah, which is fine. Female actor is fine, but actor is work for both. Anyway. So I'm gonna go with the read. But anyway, I read the audiobook.
What? Just quickly, I wanted to do a little public service announcement while you're talking about audiobooks.
Okay. Yes.
Certainly for those in the UK, Audible currently has a 99p for 3 months of Audible. So essentially, that's 3 books for 99p.
That's really audiobooks, yeah. There's a big distinction because audiobooks tend to be a lot more expensive than books. That's why it's even better. Mm. That's why it's an even better deal.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'm a big fan of the Dune book. The audiobook specifically is really well read. It's one of those where you have multiple actors doing different voices. So mm-hmm. I don't mind a Ray Porter taking a stab at the girl voice. You know, I think it is okay. The Colin Morgan does even better job at doing the girl voice. Sometimes it's good when you have a female actor for the voice and a male actor for the male voice. Mm-hmm. Anyway, a big fan of the Dune book and a massive fan of Dune Part 1. I'd say that Dune Part 2 is every bit as good as the first one, but there's more action. That's because the final third of the movie is a lot of action. So it's really well done action on this. Just to give you an idea, without a slight spoiler, you guys know that's the Dune sandworms, right? And any reader of the book and anyone that saw things in the trailer know that's big fuck off, Dune worms, and at one point, one can ride one. Okay, that's one of the things from the book. The funny thing is, the scene is phenomenal. The many scenes, but what the scene in particular is phenomenal. The one with when I like going and reading things about the movies after I watch them. That scene took 44 days to shoot. One scene. You can see the craft that gone into this. It's like 44 days to film like a 5 minute scene or whatever, and it shows because it looks phenomenal. It looks like nothing else, and the whole movie just looks. They've used things like they had to shoot at the right time, so the sun was always at the right at the right point mm-hmm. for the mm-hmm. scenes. That type of thing, like the type of attention to detail, it all shows. Yeah, all the acting is great. Everyone is great in it. They changed a few things from the book, and as the movie was progressing, I was like, "How are they going to do?" I mean, I'm not going to specifically talk about it because it will be spoilers. But I was thinking to myself, "How are they going to do this big thing at the end if they're not doing a time jump?" That's all I'm going to say, right? If they're not doing a 2 or 3 year time jump, how are they going to do the thing that happens at the end? So they changed the thing that happens at the end to happen differently, and. On the book, the thing that happens is phenomenal, proper like super badass, and you go like, yeah. And on this one, it's also very good. It's I'm happy they did it because it makes more sense than what happens it makes more sense to be able to put it on screen. It's also very good and very very badass. I think it's okay. I think it's an acceptable change based on the fact that they don't do a time jump to be able to do it. But anyway. All that to say, Dune Part 2 is phenomenal. I went to watch it with Emilia in the cinema, and she didn't see Dune Part 1. I know. But this is what I told her, because she wanted to go to the cinema with me, and we wanted to watch it. And I said to her, listen, all you need to know is the main guy, showed her the picture of him, because if I tell her the actor, she won't know. Him, yeah. They brought him to this planet. His family. They killed his family. They killed everyone. And basically that's part one. Let's go part two. Yeah. and she, even though she didn't watch the first one, she had no context. She finished and she's like, no, it's really good. And then that's without watching the first one. That just shows how good of part two it is. It's phenomenal. This is gonna win a lot of awards. This one as well. It's. Like the first one did. I think the first one won like 6 Oscars. This will swoop up all the score. The score from Hans Zimmer is even better than the first one. The score is just fucking great. Yeah, watch it in the cinema. It's obviously best way to watch these movies. Have you seen it, the part two? Did you say Donut at all?
No, I haven't seen it yet. So I'm.
But you read the book, have you?
Yeah. Yeah, I was curious to see how they were going to do the end for the second one, so...
Yeah. I'll tell you... Well, I don't tell you, because you need to watch it.
Yeah, don't tell
me. Yeah, don't tell. But it's obviously... Yeah, it's...
Yeah.
You need to watch it, but it's fun. It's one of those, because if you read the book, I'm not really spoiling it, but I guess I will be spoiling the movie, which I don't want to spoil. It's great. Yeah. So that's my recommendation. Marius, you want to talk about... Shogun.
Yes, I do. TV series on Disney Plus in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
This is a adaptation from a novel which I've actually used as my "Why Don't You" previously, the novel version. It's based on it's loosely based on real life fictional characters, but it's not really them. But it's definitely taken its inspiration from some real life characters, and it tells the story of this Englishman in 1600 who ends up in Japan. He's like a pilot on a sailing ship, and ends up in Japan, and he sort of there's this power struggle going on across Japan between these sort of five different regents, and there's they're on the brink of war essentially, and this Englishman ends up being sort of a key factor of that, both him and his ship, and he sort of like gets the ear of this one of these regents, and it's that exploring the differences in culture and ways of doing things, like how he obviously like arrives there knowing basically nothing about Japan, not able to speak Japanese. When he gets there, the stinky Portuguese are already there, and they're obviously like there's this whole Protestant Catholic thing going on where they hate each other. The Portuguese are mistranslating him to the Japanese and stuff like that, because they don't, they're filthy horrible Portuguese. so there's all of that stuff going on, and it's really, really well done. I think really, really well acted. It's a good, real good, solid adaptation. I mean, it's one of those, I think it's a 10-part series. I'm not sure how far that series goes. It's only on the 8th episode. I haven't got that far yet. But it does a really good job, because that, the novel is one of those novels that should you accidentally drop it on your foot, you're likely to need hospital treatment. because it's a chunky old book. I think the audiobook version is like 50 something hours long for one book. There's quite a lot to it, and so it's quite a lot to try and cram into a 10 hours of TV. Yeah. But they do a really good job of it. I highly, highly recommend it. And there's loads of samurais and shit, people, like, there's not, it's more about the political wranglings of warfare than it is about the actual sort of fighting. But there are people getting their heads chopped off with swords, which is, another tick in the box for me.
I definitely want to watch it. It's on my to watch list. I'm a massive fan of, I don't know what role it plays, but, I'm gonna, okay. Butcher alert.
Oh, please go ahead. Go on.
Yeah.
Hiroyuki Sanada is
yeah, that's not right. I can't do a better job. But
he was in Westworld. He was in Westworld part series 2, and there was one episode in particular where he was like the main character. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. He's in John Wick as well. He's in lots of things. He's phenomenal in everything he does.
Yeah,
it's phenomenal in everything he does. I'm a big fan of him. I like samurai shit as well. I'm one of. I was looking here at some of his movies. Is that I'm apologetic for. I like The Last Samurai.
I love it.
I think it's a good.
I know.
Movie.
I don't know why people don't get on with that film. What's wrong with that film? Because what's wrong with it? Yeah. Why don't? So Donut had a bit of a shake of his head. So go on, Donut. Why don't you like that movie?
No, it's not that I don't like it. It's okay. It's fine. It's a Tom Cruise movie. It's basically
good.
What it is.
It's like, good.
It's good. Yeah,
I think Tom Cruise is the problem. That's why people don't like it, because they see him and it's like he's actually fine in it. He's good. And the movie is good. I think
I think.
But honestly, it's true. It is true. There is a bit of a stigma with Last Samurai. I like the Last Samurai.
Yeah. I think it's brilliant. I love them when they're having their conversations and that little joke about them right at the end. It's like, I'm going to spoil the Last Samurai. I'm sorry. I'm going to do it.
Before you do it, okay, you can skip a minute, 30 seconds now. Okay, go on.
But I just love that where they're having these conversations and he always refers to it and that there's a bit of like awkwardness at the start and then just right at the end, it's like, oh, I really enjoyed our conversations as he's just been like mown down by looking laser Gatling gun fire. Like, no, I really like it.
That's some
really
good.
Like it.
It's a good movie. I think people don't give it as much
apart praise. From the fact no one's getting up after being hit that hard with one of them wooden swords. They hurt a lot. They're hard.
True. Now, before we finish, this is gonna be a bit of an interesting one. Before, because it's been catching my eye for the last on my second screen for the last few minutes, I'm gonna give you guys a recommendation. I want you to both watch this on Steam. It's coming out on Game Pass, and because I was looking, I was on the Xbox app earlier, and I saw coming up soon. Have a look on Steam at Harold Halibut. That's Harold Halibut. How good does that look, that game? That game looks phenomenal. And it's on Game Pass. I'm definitely going to be giving this a go. It's like stop action animation. It looks amazing.
To be fair, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the first time I've actually seen it. I think it's when I used to read Edge. I don't read it anymore, but... Yeah. I have certainly heard about it. Game Pass is it?
So Game Pass, coming out on Game Pass, you can pre-install it. How good does that look?
Wallace and Gromit.
Yeah, this looks like a Marius game if there's ever been one. This is 100% Marius. This is your catnip for sure. Doesn't that look amazing? I wanted your reaction just as it. Yeah. And you can see on Steam, you can see him building the sets and everything like that. Looks phenomenal. Yeah, I wanted you to have a quick look at it. But yeah, hey, why don't we do this? It never works. It never works every time we do it in the past. Let's all say we're going to play this game. Let's all commit that we're going to play this game at least an hour. Can we all commit to that?
It's out in a couple of days. Yeah. I mean, I can commit to it.
Yeah. Okay, go on. I'm adding one. Next podcast. Podcast. Yeah.
Yeah.
1 hour? Yeah, no. 1 hour? What's 1 hour?
Yeah, I can do that.
How good does it look, though? It looks phenomenal. It looks really good. I like when you use...
I like that art style.
Yeah, but I like when they use dioramas as well, which they're using on this one. If you there's a game I really like on iOS, Fantasia, the one by the Blue Dragon creator, where they did the diorama sets for everything, and then they put 3D characters in the diorama sets, and it just gives it that art style, which is great. Anyway, this looks good. I mean, it says here it's a third person, you know, story rich cinematic adventure, you know. So
yeah,
I don't know how long to beat it is, but I'm assuming it's not gonna be that long, because if you have to build all the sets, it's not gonna be a 20 hour thing.
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, you would imagine it.
Having said that, if you look at the trailer, there's lots of different fucking sets. There's a lot of different sets on this. So yeah, anyway, this looks phenomenal. So we'll all be gonna giving this a go, at least an hour. So there you go. But that brings us to the end of our podcast.
Except for the complaint department.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. 1 second. Ring, ring. so we had a... Did we have a complaint? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So okay. A listener who wishes not to be named raised a complaint to me about the treatment of their favorite presenter, despite their short time on the podcast.
Okay.
He stays up in the wee hours of the morning, listener says, to provide added sophistication to the podcast and deserves to be treated better.
Okay.
From a certain Bruno Pinto.
All right. Okay. I mean, I think it's fair to say that Marius also partook on the piss take. So can he take 50% of the blame?
I have to say I'm skeptical about this anonymous listener.
Yes. Yeah. As am I.
Yeah. And, initials I and D by any chance?
No,
is it?
No. Absolutely not. This is an actual listener.
Listen. This is. I like to talk about facts as they presented to us. Okay, right. Fact. Yeah. Mr. Donut said again the previous evening to the podcast. What time is it again? What time does your clock change? Yep. Yeah. I told them what time it was now. What time it was gonna be? Yeah. And it was going, mm-hmm. Etc. And then they did the calculations. He got a calculator out to try and calculate the time. Yeah. Which is always a problem using a calculator for time. And then he said, "Okay, I'll be there." And then he wasn't. Yep. So now we could have done a "Wants to Be a Millionaire." You know, is it A? You know, he cannot tell time. B, he fell asleep. You know. C, you got stuck in the washing machine. You know, I mean, if we did ask the audience, it would have been a 50-50. You would end up with he cannot tell the time or he fell asleep. Yeah. So which one is funnier? he cannot tell time. So I mean, we can only go with the facts we had at the time. Now we know it wasn't because you couldn't tell time; it's because you fell asleep. So you know, fair enough. You know, now we've set the record straight. Yeah. So I'm sure there'll be no more complaints from that listener. But that listener sounds a bit dumb, if I can be honest, because didn't he say you were his favorite host? I mean, come on, yes. Come on. That guy is obviously. Oh, I tell you what, was he dropped as a child? Maybe when did he fall on his head or something? I don't know.
All right. Well, the wrath is about to come down on you, Mario.
I look forward to hearing more from him. But just to set the record straight, Aaron can definitely tell the time. Okay, yeah, but he just fell asleep. Because, and we do appreciate he comes in on the early hours. I know myself and Marius have said many times we wouldn't do it at that time of the day. There's no chance. Yeah. There's zero chance. So we do truly appreciate it. So we joke, but we do appreciate that you do make the time to be part of the podcast, and you do add to the podcast. To be fair, quite a lot. So we've had lots of complaints, but I've just ignored them. I was like, no, stop complaining. We like him. Okay, I haven't even told you about it. People said, who's this guy? You know, get rid of him. Like, no, I've told you none of those complaints because I think they're wrong, you know? So there you go. See, that's me.
You killed me in a closet once and you're stuck with me ever since.
This is true. Killing in a closet was hilarious, though. That's one of the funniest things I've done. All right, that brings us then to the end of the podcast. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with some more video game shenanigans. Hopefully by then I'll finish Shadow of the Colossus. And I've definitely.
So. Otherwise, your hair might be.
No, my hair is good. My hair has got a month to go, so don't worry about my hair. Okay. The best thing about it, though, is that the recording times I can look at when we're recording past the 14th. Because how are you guys gonna know? Yeah, how are you gonna know? You're not gonna know. So it's fine. I bought myself a few more days anyway. Yeah, I don't know.
We'll PlayStation see. Achievements.
Ah shit. Forgot about that. I already got fucked by that one time by hiding his Steam achievements, Mr. Marius. You know, so I'm not gonna fall for that again.
One of my proudest moments in life.
Yeah, I lost a bet with him. Who could do the fastest time in Super Meat Boy? And whoever lost had to wear a wig for 24 hours. I beat him. Quite well, yeah. Well, not quite well. Well, hang on a second. I put a really good score. And by the way, my score. I mean, listen. Time is a fucking flat circle, and I don't remember. Well, I know that we were both at least on the top 500 in the world. You know, what I mean, on the scores, right? And my score was well into the top 500, right, in the world, right? And his score was like in the 1,000 or something. It was quite good as well. However, what he did very cleverly is he put a very good score and then put the Steam to not show show anything.
I did it offline.
Offline. Yeah. And then he put a top 100 fucking score.
In the last minute of the time that we had,
sinks the thing, and I look at it, I'm like, because I keep improving, I think I end up on the top 300 in the world, whatever. Yeah, I'm like, yes, and then I look at his score, I'm like, how? Where did that come from? But the thing is, he cheated. I'll tell you why he cheated. Now, I have no doubt he managed to do the score.
That is clever.
Let me tell you why he cheated. Let me tell you why he cheated. Yeah. By his score being so far behind mine, it stopped me trying to improve the score. Yeah,
Hold on, no. You cheated yourself by deciding.
Yeah, you cheated yourself.
You weren't. Yeah. You've done enough.
You were good enough.
That was classic, like tortoise and hairstyle thinking. That was so. Yep. You fucked yourself, not me.
Absolutely, 100%.
There we go.
He cheated, but to be fair to me, I did wear the wig for 24 hours, and it was very very hot. And to be fair, Mr. Chicken, I call him from now on. Yeah, he never ever tried to do double quits bet after that since then, because he knows he will lose. You know, so he's never.
I'm confident in my abilities, having beaten you at that.
I know how. Mirror's Edge. I know he's going to bring fucking Mirror's Edge. I knew he was going to bring Mirror's Edge.
You knew it. It's always going to come up.
I knew Mirror's Edge is going to come up. We have this thing with Mirror's Edge. I don't know if you played Mirror's Edge at all, but the time trials, I think time trials, the second time trial?
It might be the second or third one, maybe. I can't remember.
One in particular where, again, we have this is friendly competition on that, and again on that one we push each other so well that I could close my eyes and finish the level by jumping on just by doing all the button triggers at the right time with my eyes closed. That was a particular jump that he fucking could always do, that I could do maybe one in 20, that jump, and he fucking every time he fucking got that jump fucking cock on, you know. And again, we would like, again, probably like top 100 or whatever, really high up in the world we were on that one, but he beat me like a fucking second or something, and this was bad. Literally, I'll put the podcast on and I'll repeat that level for like 5 hours, like skip
going. Well, we fell into a hole, didn't we, during the 24 hour? That's how it started. We were sat right next to each other, just doing it level by level, and you could see we're just watching each other. Shit, he's done a bit better than me. Oh man, I think it was a good solid 10 hours. That's all we did for those 24 hours.
And I know the only thing about it as well was it was the last time of check, he was like a second higher than me, right? Faster than me. And the annoying thing is, because it was like 4 or 5 sectors, right? And every time, yeah, because he on his best score, I don't know what he did on the first sector, but every time I can, like almost like 9 in 10 times, I can finish the first sector like a second ahead of him. First sector, I'm faster than him on the first sector, yeah, and I'm like, I'm gonna get him now, and then he somehow gets 2 seconds on me on the other sectors every fucking time. I'm like, how? But yeah, I'm faster than him on the first sector. So yeah, fucking. Don't get me started. I'm not going to install the game.
Now, I guess the real question is, do you still have that wig? Because when you have to shave your head bald, at least you can cover it with something.
We'll see. I got a hat. It's all good. Right. Okay. We are going to finish that. The funny thing is, I was about to say, let's finish the thing. We're not going to finish on the Rumble today. And before even those words came out of my mouth, we end up finishing rumbling on anyway. But that's the monkey tail way. But yeah, thank you very much for being here. I've been Bruno Pinto.
I've been thinking about Bruno's shiny head.
I've got a lot of work to do to find people for this complaint department, because Bruno's got a lot of shit coming his way.
Use ChatGPT. All right, bye, stream. 'Cause, man, it's Ico, one of my favorite games ever. You heard me talk about it on the top 10, didn't you? Not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't agree with Ico being the best of the series. Shadows of the Colossus is better.
Yeah, I have that. I have the special edition of that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a cardboard edition of. I got both of them. I got Eco and Santa Claus. I got both special editions.
Yeah.
Marius famously says that the Last Guardian is the best one of the three.
Well, you know, we all know Marius is wrong a lot.
He does not. He's with you on the Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, yeah, Bruno has really no stake in this anyway, seeing as he hasn't even finished Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
His opinions are null and void.
So he just knows I mean, do you know the spoiler then, just from secondhand knowledge at the end of Shadows of Colossus?
Me? I don't know any spoiler, no.
Oh, well, no wonder you have Eco higher. Jesus Christ.
I'm going to second.
Finish Shadows of Colossus.
I don't have Eco higher. Maris hit the nail on the head. No, I'm going to second. Yeah? I said Eco is one of the best games ever made. That's all I said. I didn't say it was better than Shadows of the Colossus.
You did, because you had it in your top 10 and not Shadows of the Colossus.
Because I haven't finished it. I didn't have fucking, other games I didn't play. You know what I mean? I played, Shadows of the Colossus, I played a couple times, and both times I played that, I went like, this is really special, right? But I never went far that. I always struggle when I first start playing Shadows of the Colossus, because I'm killing these things, and I'm thinking to myself, they don't look like they're bad. Yeah, am I the bad person here? You know what I mean? Because they don't look like they look peaceful and nice, and I'm the one fucking things up. So am I the problem? And I've always struggled with that at the beginning. And the answer
to that, if ever you find yourself asking the question, Bruno, am I the problem? The yeah. answer is yes.
So you guys don't have a problem with that, killing those nice fucking things, you know. On games, you normally make.
So I'm actually
bankrupt, so I don't care.
Yeah. So as I'm playing as the protagonist, I'm trying to get my beloved back. Therefore, I'm doing whatever I can to get her back.
The creatures must die.
Yeah, creatures are creatures.
Okay, guys. Okay, this is a promise from me. It's the 14th of April. Okay. 14th of April.
I'm writing it down right now.
This is something that I need to write down. I can feel. I've still got the list of all the games that he was going to play last year that he did none of.
Bruno.
Okay. By the 14th of May, so a month, yeah, I would have finished Shadow of the Colossus.
14th of May, 2024. Okay.
Correct.
Well done.
It's not stupid, is it? It's not his first rodeo, this one. on Earth, yes. Okay, good.
I was prepared to ask that question.
Yeah. We're all lawyers here, Bruno.
I can see. Bloody hell. On Earth? Yes. Okay, good. Okay, carry on then. I'll play it. I'm sure I can play it on my PlayStation.
No. Finish it with the words.
I'm going to finish it. Yeah. I'm sure I can play it on my PlayStation. So.
And then you're going to see the ending, and you're going to be like, "Holy shit!" And yeah.
So yeah, but just to clarify things again before I start recording the podcast. I'll be recording already, but I didn't say Eco is better than Shadow of the Colossus. I said Eco is one of my favorite games I've ever played. Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's a fact. You know, it is a phenomenal game. I mean,
that's fine, but you had it in your top 10.
I didn't have it on my top 10. That was a joke. You remember my top 10? It wasn't there, but it should have been there. It should have been close to top. But there's so many good games, isn't it? But it's been on my top 10 before. Yeah, definitely. Eco's definitely been on my top 10 before. And spoiler alert: it's been on Mario's top 10 higher than Shadow of the Colossus before. So I don't know why he's giving her the almighty, because he likes Eco as well, loads.
I love them both. Yeah.
Yeah. Eco is, and you do like the Last Guardian, though. You said.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. It has more flaws that need to be overlooked than the other two. But.
Well, the reason that's a month rather than 2 weeks is because I've just started playing Baldur's Gate 3. So, and, that game,
I'm surprised you didn't give yourself till June.
Yeah, should they give myself longer? But it's fine. That's fine.
The contract's already written.
It's all right. He won't do it.
No, it's anyway, very simple. So you know what I'm going to do? It's very simple. You know what I'm going to do? I am going to do it because what I might do is I might just stream it because I have a second monitor now.
Yeah? I mean, I think that if you don't do it, there should be a penalty. Like you have to shave your head bald.
Agreed. Done.
No.
Yeah.
I think bald people
look...
I think bald people look creepy as fuck. You know what I mean?
I mean, then finish the game. That's all you gotta do.
I mean...
You have a whole month to finish the game.
I don't want to look like Egghead. You know what I mean? All right. I'm only saying this because it's far away.
Otherwise...
Okay. Sure, I'll shave my head if I don't finish it. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. There we go.
But keep the beard.
Keep the beard. Yeah. Okay. Amelia just passed by me and she looked at me like you shave the beard. You're out of the door. All right. Okay. Should we go for the podcast proper then? Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Good.